Well, good morning, everyone. The kingdom of God, when and where? Well, I guess if I put a full title on that, I may have put what and where and when. What is the kingdom of God? What is it that we're talking about? Well, in the Lord's Prayer that Michael referred to, we pray, don't we, for the kingdom of God to come. The words of the Lord's Prayer there on the screen, and twice it talks about the kingdom of God. Yours is the kingdom, we say to God. What is that kingdom that is spoken about there in the Lord's Prayer? Well, if we go right back into the Psalms, in Psalm 145, we're told something interesting there about the kingdom. You'll notice it talks about the glory of the kingdom. So this isn't something that is insignificant. This is something that is glorious. The kingdom of God is glorious. And also we see the word everlasting in there. This kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. So a glorious kingdom and an everlasting kingdom. You may know of this dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had that was recorded for us in the book of Daniel, where King Nebuchadnezzar was given a dream by the Almighty God, and he sees this image, a big image with head of gold and with chest and arms of silver and with belly and thighs of brass and with iron legs, and then its feet were part iron and part clay. And what happened in this dream was that a stone came out from the mountain, cut out of the mountain without hands, it says, and it came down and it smashed the image on its feet, and the image toppled, and then the stone ground the image to powder. And Nebuchadnezzar couldn't even remember the dream when he woke up. He just knew he'd had a dream. And he asked his wise men to come and tell him what his dream was and what it meant. But of course his wise men had got no idea at all what Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed. But Daniel was given the vision of this dream by the Almighty God. And he went and explained the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar. And it's about kingdoms. And Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And it was a massive kingdom. The Babylonian Empire was a massive empire, covering certainly much of the Middle East and the land of Israel. And this was about successive kingdoms. And the chest and arms of silver was about the Medo-Persian Empire that would replace the Babylonian Empire. And actually it was a bit bigger. And then the bronze part of this image, that was the Grecian Empire, which would supersede the Empire of the Medes and Persians, with Alexander the Great taking the main role there for Greece. And then after the Grecian Empire there'd be a Roman Empire, the legs of iron, and then no major empire at all after that. Iron and clay, it says, partly strong, partly broken. No major empire in the world since that time. And then this stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands that struck this image, it was about the empires of the world being destroyed. And if we look in verse 42 of Daniel chapter 2, we read these words. The toes of the feet, partly of iron, partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. And then it says, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So this is talking about the kingdom of the Almighty God replacing the kingdoms of the world. So this kingdom of God is not something which is remote from the earth. It's about replacing all of the kingdoms that exist on the earth. So where's it going to be? Well, if it's replacing all the kingdoms on the earth, it sounds like it's going to be on the earth. And indeed, on many occasions in our scriptures, we read about the earth being filled with the glory of God. Remember the first quotation we looked at in the Psalms? That the glory of God would be seen in his kingdom. So we now have a clearer picture, don't we? That there will be a glorious kingdom, which is God's kingdom. It will last forever. And it will be here on the earth, replacing all the kingdoms of the earth when it happens. So, lots to take in there in just a few quotations. Well, what about this kingdom then? A kingdom needs a king, doesn't it? Who's going to be king of God's kingdom? Well, we had Nebuchadnezzar's dream, didn't we, with the stone being cut out of the mountains and grinding all the nations to powder, replacing all the nations. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to be king. We know these words from the Gospel of Luke and chapter 1, don't we, at the birth of the Lord Jesus, that the angels said that Jesus would be great and that he would be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. And the Lord God would give him the throne of his father David. So it's talking about King David, and the Lord Jesus was a descendant of King David. And God would give him the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ means the anointed one. The one who is anointed to be king would give him the throne of his father David. And notice again that the kingdom would last forever. And if we were to go back and see what God said to David back in Samuel, he tells us this. God said, "Your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." Well, David's kingdom didn't last forever, did it? David, after he died, his son Solomon took over the kingdom of Israel, and then after that it got split up between Jeroboam and Rehoboam. The kingdom didn't last forever, did it? But it will last forever when the Lord Jesus becomes king. And King David reigned from Jerusalem. That was the capital city of King David's kingdom. And we're told in the book of Zechariah, the prophecy of Zechariah, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And then a little bit later on in that chapter, that they, that's the people, would go to Jerusalem. So Jerusalem's important still, isn't it? Go to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts. And if we were to go into the prophecy of Jeremiah, he tells us that Jerusalem would be the throne of the Lord. So the kingdom of the Almighty God, with Jesus as king, will have Jerusalem as its capital. That's the place from which Jesus will reign in God's kingdom. And not only that, we read from the prophet Micah that the law would go from Zion. So we're not having a law coming out of Brussels or a law coming out of the House of Commons, out of London, out of our parliament. It's not going to be from there. It's not going to be from New York either. The law is going to be God's law, and it will come from the capital city of God's kingdom. It will be from Jerusalem. And Revelation 11 kind of sums all this up for us, saying the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So there we've got a pretty concise picture, haven't we, from our scriptures about what's going to happen about the kingdom of the Almighty God. So how can Jesus be king of this kingdom? What's that all about? We know about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he lived a really good life, that he did miracles, he taught. He was crucified, wasn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. But after 3 days, the Almighty God raised him back to life again from the dead. And he spent about 40 days then with his disciples on the earth before he was taken up from them into heaven. And his disciples were there, and they could see the Lord Jesus rising before their eyes, rising up before them to ascend into heaven in the clouds. And these are words in Acts 1, verse 10 and 11. Men of Galilee, the angel said to them, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. So the Lord Jesus Christ is even now in heaven waiting for the time when he's going to come back in the same way that the disciples saw him go up into heaven. And Peter, in that first incident really of him performing a miracle after the Lord Jesus had ascended into heaven, in Acts chapter 3, talking to the Jews there, says, repent and be converted, that he, that's God, may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things of which God has spoken. So the time when God is going to restore all things and set up God's kingdom, that's the time that's being spoken about. And the Lord God will send Jesus back to the earth to become king of his kingdom. There are lots and lots of quotations in our Bibles talking about Jesus coming back to the earth. I picked 1 Thessalonians because there are four chapters here where it's mentioned in all four chapters. In chapter 1 it says, to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Waiting for Jesus to come back. And in chapter 2, it talks about it being a time of rejoicing. Rejoicing in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. He is coming back, and it's a time of rejoicing. And in chapter 3, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely no doubt whatsoever that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And then in chapter 4, the Lord himself will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So that's talking about when the Lord Jesus comes back to set up God's kingdom, that the people who have died, who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his resurrection from the dead and his coming kingdom, those people who have believed will be raised back from the dead to life when Jesus comes back. Wonderful things that Paul talks about there when he's writing to the Thessalonians. Okay. So we know what's going to happen. We know where it's going to be. What we don't know is when. So when is Jesus going to come back to the earth to set up God's kingdom? Well, in our Bibles, God tells us about future events. It's called Bible prophecy, and there's lots of prophecies in our Bibles that have come true already. And God tells us things to help us to understand when Jesus will return as king. He doesn't give us a precise date. If he'd said Jesus was going to return on the 20th of July 2020, then people 100 years ago would have said, well, it's not coming yet, don't need to worry about that, wouldn't they? So he doesn't give us a precise time, but he does give us things to look at so that we can think about how close the return of the Lord Jesus is. And there are things that are going to happen before Jesus comes back. And he tells us about this in our Bibles. He tells us about what would happen to the Jewish people and what would happen to the land of Israel. We read a little of it in Luke 21, that Jerusalem would be taken, and that happened in AD 70. That the Jews would be scattered throughout the world, and they were scattered throughout the world. That they would be persecuted continually. And they have been, haven't they? The Jews were persecuted in a horrendous way in the Second World War with Hitler, weren't they? That was just absolutely dreadful. They're persecuted even today, aren't they? Still. Anti-Semitism is still around. It's hard to believe, isn't it, in the 21st century, but it is. God said that they would return to their own land. And they did, didn't they, in the 20th century. He said they would be established as a nation again. And they were, in 1948, that they would capture Jerusalem again. And it's very clear to us that they captured Jerusalem in the 67 war, isn't it? In 1967. Lots of prophecies that we could look at about that, but we won't dwell on that this morning. So there's a picture of when Israel became a nation again on May the 14th, 1948, with David Ben-Gurion there, the first Prime Minister, giving his first address, declaring the state of Israel once more. The Jews returning to their own land. I thought it might be interesting just to have a look at that graph to see what happened. You can see back in 1914, when the Balfour Declaration happened, you can see then it was a very small number of Jews, wasn't it, who lived in the land of Israel, almost just a blip there on the graph. Certainly less than 100,000 people there in 1914. And you can see how the number grew. So in 1950, just after Israel was declared as a nation once more, there was just over 1 million Jews who lived in the land of Israel. And by 2005, that number had risen to over 5 million. It's now over 6 million Jews living in the land of Israel, and it's about half of the Jewish population in the world that now lives back in the land of Israel. So, when the Bible said the Jews would return to their land, they have done. The Bible was absolutely right that that's what would happen, and that was to happen before the Lord Jesus comes back. So, just thinking about what's happened to Jerusalem, I think I should have put another one on there, which was AD 2019, shouldn't I? Lots happened to Jerusalem over time. Main ones on there for us, AD 70 was when it was destroyed by the Romans. But in 1948, when Israel became a nation, they didn't take control of Jerusalem. It was annexed by the Arabs in 1948. But in 1967, in the Six-Day War, Jerusalem became Israel's once more. Israel made Jerusalem its capital city in AD 1980. As you know, President Trump in 2019 recognised Jerusalem as being the capital of Israel, and he moved the US embassy from Tel Aviv, didn't he, to Jerusalem. And it's always in the news, isn't it, Jerusalem? Well, we read, didn't we, in our reading, when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Jesus was telling us that this was going to happen, and it happened in AD 70, about 40 years after Jesus had said these words. But then in verse 24, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, the time of the Gentiles was fulfilled, I think, in AD 1967, when the Jews took control of Jerusalem once more. And then Jesus says there'll be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So, just as Jesus was taken up from the disciples in a cloud into heaven, he's going to come back in a cloud with power and great glory to become the King of God's kingdom. And these things that you see here, that we read about in Luke 21, that we can see on the screen now, this is the world that we're living, isn't it? A world where there is distress of nations. There is perplexity through the world. Climate change, the things that are happening there. Every time something happens, like coronavirus, the world is just thrown into turmoil, isn't it? The time for Jesus to come back is very soon. So what is going to happen before Jesus comes back? Well, Zechariah, in his prophecy, recording God's words for us, tells us that the nations are going to come against Jerusalem. And have you noticed how Jerusalem is always in the news? Even though it's just a tiny city, it's always in the news, isn't it? With everybody wanting a slice of Jerusalem. But we're told in verse 10 of Zechariah 12, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace, getting what we don't deserve, grace and supplication. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn. She's telling us that the Jews will recognise that actually the Messiah is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they crucified, whom they pierced. They'll recognise that he indeed is the Messiah, and they don't at the moment. That's going to happen very soon. And in the prophecy of Joel, we're told that the nations are going to come down against Jerusalem. I will gather all nations, God says, bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. So Jerusalem is going to continue to be in the news. It's the valley of Jehoshaphat next to Jerusalem there. And here in Joel, God says, assemble yourselves, come all ye nations round about, gather yourselves together, thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Notice now, for there will I sit to judge all the nations round about. So when this happens, then that's when God is going to intervene. So look, similar words in Zechariah 14, God says, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. How does God fight in the day of battle? Is it by earthquake? Is it by his angels wiping out an army? One angel, remember, in one night destroyed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. Is it by him just sending some angels to wipe out the armies? Or is it great hailstorm that's mentioned in Revelation? There are lots and lots of different ways that God has destroyed many, many people. So anyway, what we know is half of Jerusalem will be destroyed, the Jews will be humbled, but a residue, half of them, a remnant, will be saved from destruction. And it's then, when that happens, that the Lord Jesus will return to the Mount of Olives. And when the disciples were there in Acts chapter 1 and Jesus was taken up from them into heaven, he was there on the Mount of Olives. And Zechariah tells us he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives again. And it's then that his kingdom will start. Well, there's a picture of the Mount of Olives. Spoilt somewhat by the buildings, but there we go. So, nations are going to come against Jerusalem, take half of it. The Jews will acknowledge that they are dependent on God. They will acknowledge Jesus as being their Messiah. And Jesus will come back. The nations will be gathered together in the valley of Jehoshaphat. And God will fight for Israel and will save his people. And it's then that Jerusalem will be God's world capital and Jesus will be king of the whole world. He will be king of God's kingdom, which will fill the whole world, and all the worldly kingdoms will be destroyed, with Jerusalem as the seat of government. And people will go up to Jerusalem to worship God, and Jerusalem will once more be a city of peace. The Americans use some of the words here from Isaiah 2 about beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. No war anymore. So once God has destroyed the nations that are against him, then there'll be no more war anymore. And people will go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, to learn about his ways, so that they can walk in his paths. A very, very different world from the one we live in today. And Jesus says this to us: come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's an invitation to us. The question is, do we want to be there? Do you want to be there? Do you want to be there in this kingdom that you are invited to? God offers you the choice, but the decision is yours. Thank you. Thank you.